So I just wanted to share a little bit this morning about a passage that was kind of fresh to me. And as I read through it, it's John chapter 15. But as I read through it, I would say it wasn't like I saw it completely in a different light. But I would say there was an important little sort of shift, I think, in the lens that I viewed it. And it definitely encouraged my heart and spoke to me. And I hope it can do the same for some of you who are listening. So turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It says in verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And I'm going to read a bit more, but I'll stop there. I guess the first thing that was speaking to my heart is I've always read this passage, and in my heart, and this may not be the same for some of you, but I think it may be for some, is the warnings from Christ really stand out here, right? Like we see that those who do not bear fruit are taken away. We see that those who do not abide are dried up, and they're thrown away as a branch, and they cast into the fire and burned. And I think quite naturally we can be very focused on the fact, like, wow, like this is serious. Like Christ is commanding us and instructing the disciples to be warned that they need to abide. But I think what changed me this morning was not that those warnings aren't true, but I guess I would say the emphasis changed for me is that Christ was actually using this language not because he was trying to put a fear in the disciples of not abiding, which is okay to have that warning, but I think he was trying to just drive it home to them that the life that he has for them can only be found in abiding in him. And any other life, anything else aside from that, will lead to them being dry, will lead to them ultimately not bearing fruit and not being part of the vine. And I think what he was warning them was not trying to create a fear of, am I abiding, am I not abiding, but rather just put a foundation into their understanding that this Christian walk is completely impossible apart from abiding in him, that there is no fruit, there is no life in Christ, we can do, and it says it right there, that we can do nothing if we're not abiding. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's why the warnings are here. That's why the warning is here, to say that those who are not bearing fruit will get taken away and those who are not abiding will be gathered together and burned up. Those warnings are there because of the critical importance that we need to have in our hearts about abiding and having a communion and a relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. Because apart from that, there will be no fruit. And apart from that, there is no life in Christ. Apart from that, like if we don't have that, we actually have nothing. We actually have nothing. And that's what I think Jesus was trying to emphasize to them. Not to have them walk around saying, am I abiding? Am I not abiding? I need to make sure I'm abiding. But rather just a foundation in their heart, like, I need to be abiding because that's where this entire life that Jesus has for me is found. There is no fruit. There is no life. There is no strength that I can do nothing unless I'm abiding. And I think that that's important for all of us to remember, because it kind of cuts to the heart of the matter, because there's a lot of things we can do that are good and a lot of things that can be important. But unless the foundation is there of an abiding and being able to access the vine, being able to know that we can draw strength from our Heavenly Father, that we can draw strength through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can attend all the meetings we want. We can do all the reading we want. We can just cover our days with different activities, which are good in if they're driving and if they're fulfilling a need we have for His Word. But the foundation has to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. The foundation has to be a drawing of strength from our Heavenly Father. The foundation has to be that abiding, or else we can do nothing. And I thought it was interesting how he said that if we're not abiding, there's a drying up and there's a gathering together and a burning. Because I can say that even I think our Heavenly Father allows that in some small measure. And I want to actually make a statement here that I do think our Heavenly Father allows us, when we're not abiding, when we're not drawing our strength from Him, we can feel that dryness come in. We can feel that lack of the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. But I would say that's not to say you're not abiding. We have a loving Heavenly Father. We, even as we look at those who have raised children, we raise our own children. We will work with them when they're struggling. We'll discipline, we'll correct, we're long suffering. We will suffer long with them in desire to see them come into a place where they're learning the principles of our home or learning to listen and obey or whatever the matter is. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. He's a good Father. He will suffer long and strive with us, but He does allow that dryness to come in to allow us to know that we're not perhaps walking in a way of dependence, walking in a path of faith, walking in a path of abiding with Him, so that we can learn and say, you know what? I want to draw near. I want to apply the truth. So I'm going to read about a few others later on. I want to ensure that I'm walking in an abiding relationship. I don't want to get distracted from a relationship with my Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ that allows me to tap into that strength, to tap into that grace that is found in the vine. And He allows us to see it through dryness or through other circumstances, through our own failings, through having to repent and get back up. So He's long-suffering. This message and these warnings, I don't think, are meant to cause us to come to a place of feeling that we should be constantly flip-flopping day and forth or back and forth in each day, or like, am I abiding, am I not abiding? But it is a warning. And it's also, broadly speaking, there is a warning that if we somehow come into a gospel, if we somehow come into a place where we're placing our confidence in anything else other than abiding in our Heavenly Father, if we're placing our confidence in activity or placing our confidence in Bible knowledge or any of these other things, then we can come into a place. The warnings are here to say, no, the grace and the fruit comes from abiding in our Heavenly Father, comes from abiding in the vine. And that needs to be our focus. And that needs to be where we know that our strength is going to come from. And these warnings are given to show the importance that we need to have, the emphasis that we need to have on abiding in Christ and ensuring that we're walking in a relationship, ensuring that we're seeking to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. So if we keep reading here, it says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be My disciples. Just as the Father has loved Me, I have also loved you. Abide in My love. If you keep My commandments, you will abide in My love, just as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And I think one thing is to important, like, these words are spoken to His disciples. These words are spoken to those who are following Him. These words are spoken to those who want to obey Him, who want to obey Him, who want to keep His commandments. And I think it's important to remember that these truths in verse 10 about keeping his commandments can be a warning to those who perhaps have some sort of other gospel that says, you know what, I can live this life I want to live. I can walk in the flesh. I can pursue the flesh, pursue after this world. And I just need to believe in the love of God and know the love of God. Well, this verse is a sobering reminder that no, this is actually the abiding and for those who keep his commandments, that truth is there. But for those of us who have had the Holy Spirit imprint a desire in our heart, if we've had that changed nature from being born again and our desire is to keep his commandments, I think the enemy often uses another tactic. The enemy often comes and tries to undermine our faith and undermine our belief and knowledge of the Heavenly Father's love for us. Because that too is a command. Jesus said, believe in me. And I'm going to read another verse in 1 John that talks about believing in the love the Father has for us. And that too, those we may not be deceived into thinking that somehow this verse 10 can allow, like we may not be deceived into thinking we can live a life of pursuing the world, loving the things of the world and not following the commandments of scripture and somehow still think we're abiding. We can be on guard against that, and it's good to be. But I think many of us would not be deceived by that lie. But I do think there's another risk of a lie that comes that makes us doubt our Heavenly Father's love for us, that makes us not truly believe in Jesus Christ. And I can say that if we are doubting, if we are not believing in our Father's love for us, if we are not having faith in Jesus Christ that allows us to have an anchor for our soul in the love of God, we will find difficulty in accessing the strength and the grace that comes from abiding in the vine. That is just as important as knowing that we cannot pursue this world. We cannot live for our own flesh. Just as important as that truth is the truth that we need to know and believe in our Heavenly Father's love for us. And as we're concerned about abiding, it can seem almost contradictory. The enemy can come and lie to us and make us doubt that can make us doubt our Father's love, which can then lead to us struggling to find the grace and all of a sudden feeling maybe I'm abiding, maybe I'm not abiding. And it's actually totally crafty, because the very feeling of dryness is meant to cause us to actually draw near and place maybe and to check and say, am I listening to lies? Am I trusting in the Father's love for me? Am I holding fast to my faith in Jesus Christ? It's meant to drive us back to that, but the enemy can say it differently and say, you know what? Your Father doesn't love you. These difficulties you're experiencing are because your Father doesn't love you. This dryness you're feeling is because your Father's forgotten about you, or because you're not going to make it in this Christian walk, that it's too difficult for you and it's not going to happen and you should just give up. That very dryness that we may experience, that our Father is saying, come back to me, come back, rebuild up your faith, refresh yourself in knowing that I love you and I want you to abide and I want you to find the grace and the life that I have for you through abiding in me. That very dryness, the enemy twists it and tries to use it to cause us to doubt the Father's love for us. When we fail and we come up short, when we feel insufficient, when we're facing trials, when we're facing a trial and our own failure and our own insufficiency is laid bare, whether it's just for us to see or whether it's for others to see as well, and we get humiliated through it and it's exposed, our complete and utter lack of grace and our failing to overcome in a situation and our failing to hold on to hope. What is the purpose of that? Well, the enemy is going to come and make you try and doubt the Father's love in that situation. But rather, the very purpose is to cause us to fall upon the Father's love, to know, I know my Heavenly Father has allowed this for a purpose and he loves me and I need to draw near to him. One thing I can rely on, one thing I can count on is my Heavenly Father's love for me. And I need to press into that love. I need to silence the lies that are making me doubt it. And I need to know that he loves me and I can trust in that, that that is a foundation for my life. Those who want, that's an important thing. Those who want to obey the Father's commands can have a confidence, because that love comes from the Holy Spirit, or that desire. When the law is written in our hearts and we have a desire to obey it, then we can have a confidence in knowing that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, and that when we face struggles, when we see our own failing and our own shortcomings, we should know that our Heavenly Father loves us. The very fact that it troubles us that we're failing, the very fact that we see a standard as shown to us by the Holy Spirit and through the scripture, that we see a standard of life that we're being called to, and we see that we're not living up to it, it should not make us doubt our Father's love for us, but should make us rather say, Father, I know you love me. I'm coming back to you again for grace and help, because I am obviously trying to do this on my own and I am failing. What I'm seeing clearly is that I can do nothing of myself, and I am coming back to you again for strength and for help, because again and again, it can happen over and over, but the lesson is not to give up. The lesson is not to listen to the lies of the enemy that the Father doesn't love us and that we've been cast off and that we're somehow that branch that is burned. The lesson is I can do nothing of myself, and the Heavenly Father is seeing fit for my good to make that very plain. And what I need to do now is believe in the love that he has for me and come back to him and draw near to him and abide in him, that I can lay hold of the grace and the strength that he has for me. It says that we are to abide in his love. Abide in his love. That is a place of confidence. That is a place of knowing that he loves us, of not doubting that, of not listening to the lies of the enemy that make us think other than that. Abiding in his love is exactly as it sounds. It's as simple as it sounds. It's in knowing that he loves me, and I can place my confidence in that. And we want to be on guard, and we know the truths of scripture that tell us that we cannot abide in him and practice sin and live for this world. And that's an important emphasis. But in my own heart, I can say, what trips me up more often? What causes me to come short of the grace of God more often? A lie that I can live for the world? A lie that I can live for my flesh and still know my Heavenly Father? Or a lie that says somehow I am not loved by my Heavenly Father? A lie that somehow says this situation is beyond the Heavenly Father's grasp, that somehow he doesn't love me just as much today as he did yesterday. He doesn't love me in my failings just as much as he did when I was walking in confidence in his grace yesterday. And he loves me enough to want me to get back up right now and start walking in grace and confidence once again. For me personally, that's the lie that trips me up, that says wallow in self-pity, wallow in discouragement, stay here. Somehow this is the only thing that you have, the only option you have is to stay in this place of discouragement and pity, rather than saying, no, my Heavenly Father loves me and I'm still in his love, and I'm going to get up now and place my confidence and anchor on that love and lay hold of his grace now to start overcoming, to start silencing the lies that are coming and the hopelessness that I'm feeling, and begin to get up and walk now. Let's turn to First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And there's a lot here. I'm not going to claim to be able to unpack it all or explain it all this morning, but I think it's important that there's a same vein here about abiding in Christ, about abiding in his Heavenly Father. And it says that we've been given the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the reasons we know we abide, is because the Holy Spirit has been given to us in our hearts. The Holy Spirit has written the law of God in our hearts, so that we have a compulsion, so that we have something that is not of ourselves. It says, I want to obey my Heavenly Father. I want to live the life He's calling me to. I want to overcome my flesh. That desire is from the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can have self-help. You can have some maybe thinking, yeah, it'd be better if I didn't lose my temper so often. You can have some sort of, your conscience can have some sort of knowledge of a better way of living. But it is the Holy Spirit within us that compels us, that writes God's law in our heart, that says, this is the standard I'm calling you to. This is the life I'm calling you to. And that's just one aspect of what the Holy Spirit does. That's what's on my heart this morning. But then combined with that, the Holy Spirit also wants to remind us of our Heavenly Father's love for us. What did the Helper come to do? Or what does Jesus say about when He says, I'm going to give you the Helper? I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. He's saying there is a love of a Father that is going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. That fatherly love, there's a connection there between the Holy Spirit coming and having the confidence to say, I'm a child of God. I am loved by my Heavenly Father, and I can place my confidence in that love. He's a helper, and that's one of the very first things Jesus says, that I won't leave you as orphans. There's a relationship there, and Christ knew that some of what the Holy Spirit's work was going to be was to help us to know the love of our Heavenly Father. The disciples were still looking for it. They had Jesus right in front of them, and yet they were still saying, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. And Jesus was saying, I've shown you the Father. But Jesus knew that for the disciples to truly know the love of the Father, they were going to need the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was going to come and help them to know the love of the Father, help them to know that the Father is there for them, to help them to have a different relationship with God than they'd ever have before. And that was the reason that the Holy Spirit had to come, that we wouldn't feel like orphans anymore. We wouldn't feel like orphans trying to keep the law in our own strength. We'd feel like a son or a daughter who had a Heavenly Father there to help us, that when we fall, He's there to help us get back up. When we see our own failings over and over again, it's not to make us doubt His love for us. When we feel like a situation is completely and utterly beyond our strength, it's not to make us doubt. That's the enemy. The enemy comes when we're feeling completely and utterly beyond our strength and tries to plunder us and tries to rob from us. But our Heavenly Father says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I want to work through that weakness and cause you to realize to a greater extent that you need to abide in me, that you need to abide in the vine, that of yourself, you could do nothing. Believe in my love and trust in me and come back to me in faith, that you can begin to know to a greater extent the love that I have for you. We need, as believers, we need to come to a place where our knowledge of our Heavenly Father's love for us is unshakable. We should never come to be in a place where we're doubting our Heavenly Father's love for us, or we're suffering through ongoing discouragement and despair, because the cure, and I speak this by faith, I say this not having come to this place, but I have a confidence and hope in my heart that I can abide in an unshakable knowing and having an unshakable foundation of knowing my Heavenly Father loves me, such that when I get knocked down, when I fail, I get back up again. When I face adversity and difficulties that take me beyond my own strength, and when I see that I'm completely and utterly useless of myself to walk through this situation in grace and love, it causes me to fall on a foundation of my Heavenly Father's love and trust in Him and know that through that love, I can find His grace and His strength, and that I can abide in His love. And through that, I can bear much fruit. I can bear much fruit. And I think those of us who have the Holy Spirit, who have repented and have received the Holy Spirit, we know that. I can say that even right from the start, the fruit came when I was overflowing with the love of God, when I knew how much my Heavenly Father loved me, when I was filled with thanksgiving for what He'd done for me. The fruit was coming, and it doesn't change from day one to the day we finish. The fruit comes through a confidence, through knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us, and to being filled up with that love, through abiding in that love. To be abiding in the love of God allows us to have that love for others, to fulfill the commandment that He says that we might love one another. It comes just after this in John 15. I'm not going to go there today, but the very command to love one another is just an overflow of the love that we have in our hearts because we're abiding in our Heavenly Father, because we're abiding in the vine. I'm not going to say it's not a choice. I'm not going to say it's easy, that if we somehow grasp this truth, it becomes easy. But I can say in my heart, I believe there's a foundation here. There is a depth that I want to understand. Like just as Paul writes it, understanding the width and the depth and the knowledge of the love of God, or the love of God, which surpasses knowledge. My heart wants to understand that. My heart wants to grow. My heart wants to see the greater depths of the love of God, that I can have that foundation, that I can have that abiding in my Heavenly Father, that I can be bearing fruit, that I can be walking His commandments and walking in His grace through the strength that He gives and through abiding in Him. I hope that can share some encouragement for those who are going through great trials, as I know there are some in our body, as we feel our own weakness. I hope that this can bring some encouragement as to God's purposes in it, that we need to trust in His love. We need to silence and fight the lies of the enemy that make us doubt His love and feel the enemy's lies that make us feel hopeless, and rather say, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me and is allowing this. And hopefully all of us can be somewhat encouraged to just to seek to continue to abide, not in our own strength, not out of fear. Perfect love casts out fear, but rather through knowing that this is where Christian life is found. This is where grace, strength, and fruit is found, in abiding in the love of God.